Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that too. Hope you'll check out my website at jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those will get you to the same place where you can find out more about what we do and all the resources that we make available to you, all the on-demand capability that we have there, like the live show, the replay, the daily replay, which is up for 24 hours all weekend on Saturday. I mean, all weekend from the Friday show. And then also thousands of articles, things that you can read that I've written or that our Brain Trust members have written. Or in the case of the archives, some of them go all the way back to 1999. So check that out when you get a chance. You'll find Gene Siciliano there when you go there. Gene is our good friend. He's one of the resident CPAs of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. That's you and me. He's our good friend, Gene. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Welcome back. And, you know, Gene, I know you want to talk about 2005 taxes, getting ready for 2005. We scheduled this because we knew people would either already have their taxes done or will have filed an extension. But at least they would sort of have an idea about how they did last year with regard to taxes. And whether they had any kind of an intention of maybe doing a little better job. Hopefully we're catching them at the right time, Gene. So they're saying, you know what, I think I need to do a little more planning for this year.
Well, Jim, you know, most people talk about tax planning before the end of the year, and the accountants say get
like on December 27th.
Yeah, right. Or maybe September, October. Let's do things before the end of the year. And that's great, and I think people should think about that and do that with their businesses. But the reality is when your tax return is in and you've gotten the bill and you've seen the damage, now is the time to really begin to think about risk management for the next year. How do I manage some of the tax risks that I just saw and that are fresh in my mind and now I know I can do something about? And let's not put it off until October, November, or as you say, December 27th of next year. Let's do something about it now.
All right. Well, and I think we can do that. So where would you start right now? Here we are. We're 8 months away from the end of the year. Where do we start?
Well, I think one of the places to start is the areas that had the highest impact on last year's tax bill. And I think one of the things that we think about that most often affects small businesses is accounts receivable and collections. For example, one of the things that we typically get hit with is collections that are that come in right at the end of the year. Now we pay taxes on them. If they came in 3 days later, they'd be postponed for a whole year.
Right.
Collections of bad debt or potential bad debts. Sometimes we have accounts that at the end of the year we have to race to say we're either going to collect this or write it off. And very often small businesses postpone the write-off so they don't get the cash and they don't get the deduction.
Right.
And so let's
it's like phantom income, isn't it?
It is in many senses. That's right. That's right. So let's plan ahead. Let's either take steps early in the year to collect those bills or make sure we think ahead to write them off so that we get the deduction for them, either the cash or the deduction. You don't want to lose both.
Well, now some people might be saying, Gene, you can make a decision at the end of the year to write them off, but if it's a big number, you don't want to write that off in 1 month. You don't want to eat that, you know, all at one time. And so you need to have a plan. And a lot of times people will say, okay, I'm going to, and they won't necessarily, and what I think you're talking about is not one particular account, but if you've got a total of, say, $5,000 of bad debt, what you think is going to be bad debt, even if you don't know for sure that some of it's going to be bad debt, go ahead and call it that and start amortizing it over the rest of the year. Is that what you're talking about?
That's certainly a good, that's a good thing. That's a good idea to do that.
Shouldn't every virtually every month you have an allowance in your on your balance on your operating statement, some line that says allowance for bad debt and allowance for shrinkage, like you know, inventory loss? Shouldn't there be something in there, even if you believe you're not going to lose anything, you think you're not going to? Shouldn't there be something in there for that?
That really is the best way to do it, because then you minimize the impact on your balance sheet and your income statement for that item. And in fact, that's recognizing the reality, because we all know that some of those things are going to go bad for all of us. We just don't know which ones. And so that's why you do an allowance, to provide for that thing you can't yet predict, but you know it's going to happen to you.
Gene, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Gene Siciliano. He's the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 20 till. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate, Gene Siciliano, is our guest. He's the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. And Gene, tell us where your book's available, please.
Book is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and still available in many of the major bookstores, as well as from our website, which is CFO4Rent. That's CFOforRent.com.
Now, you travel all over the country helping people as a CFO for Rent. I used to, I love your title, because I used to be a vice president at You Can Rent. That's what I used to, that was my sort of my elevator speech when some people said, when I was a consultant, they said, what did you do for a living? And I said, I'm a vice president at You Can Rent. And that's what you do as a CFO. And you see a lot of small business financial statements, don't you?
A lot of them.
How often do you see a financial statement from a small business where they have amortized allowances for bad debt, for inventory shrinkage, for some kind of thing that they might have missed? How often do you see people building that kind of cushion into their statements?
For small businesses, gosh, almost never. I would say 10% of the time. Typically, they're postponing that because in their minds, it's all going to work out well.
Yeah. And more's the pity, because you got to have something in there. It always makes you feel good, Gene, if you do that, if you budget for those kinds of things. And then at the end of the year, when you actually take an inventory, you check your receivables or whatever, you know, your first thought is, wow, this is, you know, we this isn't as good as I thought it was. And then somebody says, well, don't forget, you built a little cushion in, and you feel good about yourself after that, don't you?
It certainly does help. And that's more of what we're talking about in the tax area. It's like advanced planning, planning ahead, thinking about what's going to happen so that you have the ability to put the resources together to make it happen. I am a big believer in planning. And what you're just describing, one other area where it's just important and it's not done. Small businesses don't do it. They seem to believe that thinking ahead and planning ahead is wasted time, because what's going to happen is going to happen, and I'm only going to be able to deal with it then.
Let me throw another idea out here, and this is about capitalization, Gene. I'd like to see what you think about it. You know, when you're looking for a loan and your banker wants to see your financial statement, I'm afraid some small business owners think if you show a reserve for bad debt or inventory shrinkage, I think some people might think that that's showing that you expect to have those losses, and the banker doesn't want to see that. The truth is, everybody has those losses, no matter who you are, no matter how well you're doing. Everybody has those losses. And for you to show that kind of discipline on your statements, that says a lot of good things about you to your banker, doesn't it?
It says you're well managed, for sure. Jim, you're absolutely right. That doesn't say a bad thing. The absence of it says a bad thing, because the banker in his mind has got to guess how much of that stuff is going to go bad, because he knows some of it's going to go bad. And if he's going to guess, he's going to tend to think, because you didn't provide a reserve, that his guess better be larger. then maybe it really is.
Well, exactly. And when he or she looks at your statements, folks, it really is going to increase your the quality or the value of your stock, so to speak, with them. It lets them know that you actually have been down the, you know, down this road, and you recognize the reality, as Gene says, of the situation. And it really does put you in good stead with them. And I think that the kind of thing we're talking about, not only is it good for management, not only is it good for tax planning, but it's good for capitalization of our company.
Realizing reality. Those words you used are really, really big. If you are really in touch with your business, your banker is going to appreciate that, even if you need a loan.
Mm-hmm. What are some other things we can do for tax planning?
Well, new equipment is another area that I think we need to think about. Very often, particularly in a business that is growing, often there's a need for a new piece of equipment, and there are tax treatments that affect that. And sometimes if it's a large piece of equipment, you can't just make the decision to get that in a month or two. You got to plan for it. You may have to raise some financing with that banker. And if you plan ahead and you know that you're going to need a piece of equipment sometime in the next year, laying the groundwork for it ahead of time, arranging the bank financing, planning the timing of it, you can get some very favorable tax treatment on a piece of equipment that you need to have, such as accelerated depreciation, such as investment tax credits.
Well, we still have the direct expensing up to $105,000, I think, in 2005, isn't it?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
For most equipment, not so much rolling stock, cars, et cetera, trucks and things, but for
equipment used in the manufacturing of your business,
machines or anything like that, you can write it off up to 105, I think it is, in 05. And what you're talking about, if you finance it, it could actually become a cash flow positive thing, couldn't it?
Just exactly what I was going to say. That's right, Jim. If you're cash strapped in your business, if you're in fact undercapitalized, as you were saying, here's a great way to generate a jolt of cash flow for your business.
Especially if you're profitable. Of course, you can't take advantage of the advanced direct expensing if you're not profitable, but you can ultimately because you can carry it forward, can't you?
Sure. Yeah, but you're right. It's tax planning is most beneficial if you, in fact, have a profit and would write a check to pay taxes.
Otherwise, I like your idea of talking to your banker before you need the money. Let them in on your plans. It's all part of letting them in on your plans, isn't it?
Well,
letting them be part of your decision making process.
Yeah, your banker really does want to be your partner in this thing, particularly when you're saying, "I need money to build my business, to grow my business." Your banker wants to be your partner. He wants
to
be...
Tell him what you're thinking out front, and then say, "What do you think I should do?" You might be surprised at what they say. They might say, "I think you need a loan." Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Gene Siciliano. It's 10 Hill. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The small business advocate Gene Siciliano is our guest. He's the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And Gene, thank you for all the time you've given us over the years and for the good work you've given us.
It is my pleasure, Jim. I enjoy helping you, working with you, and helping your listeners.
Well, as you and I both know, small business owners are certainly worthy of whatever we can do to help them. And one of the reasons we know they're so worthy and they're so cool, right, is because we are one. I'm
true.
One and you're one. That's
the truth.
That's one of the ways we know that they're pretty cool. Gene, let's do some more tax planning. What are some other things we can do on our 2005 tax planning?
Well, I think we've covered the key things that are really most valuable. And I think the last tax planning thing that we can do, even early on in the year, is something we talked about at the end of the year as well. Talking to your CPA, talking to your tax preparer.
Mm-hmm.
We should not just get together with those folks at October, November, at the end of the year. Let's talk to them early on. Some of the ideas that you and I have been talking about in this hour are ideas that are just a short list of the things that your CPA, who knows your business and knows your tax return, may be able to come up with to help you do even more things to save taxes by planning early in the year instead of at the end of the year.
You know, one of the best values that anybody, any business will ever ever have in a year's time is the money they spend to have a CPA help them with their business. You know, I don't know if people think CPAs are expensive. The truth is, in terms of dollars, they really aren't. But in terms of value, it's immense, isn't it?
Yes, it is. They are. And if you get a CPA that is proactive, who knows your business, and you trust him, that is an invaluable, or her, that's an invaluable source of information.
My CPA is a her. She'd whack me on the head if I didn't correct you. She's tough. My CPA is tough.
Well, you know, I've been a CPA for many years myself, and yet for the last 20 years, I have recognized that I'm not enough of a specialist to do my own tax planning. So I use a CPA to
you
prepare
get somebody
my return
and
to give
you?
Me that advice.
That's smart. That's smart. Gene, how often do you see small businesses that have either no regular financial statements, or if they have them, they're late, they're not, you know, it's current, and maybe they're not even as accurate as they need to be? How often do you see that?
Well, boy, you know, it's if you add that whole list together, just about all of them. Yeah. I just started a brand new client yesterday, a successful business here in Los Angeles that has their CPA prepare their financial statements once a quarter.
Wow.
And that's the only time they see a financial statement. That's scary.
And how late? And if it's once a quarter, then how soon after the quarter do they get it, though? They get it within a month, or they get it, you know, is it a month behind? I tell people that financial information is like produce.
And
if you've got 3 month old numbers or 3 month old lettuce, which do you want? Either one of those?
I think that's well said. I mean, the thing with financial information, not only does it get old, but your ability to do forward planning with it deteriorates if it's old information.
Right.
Whatever you did wrong in that 3 months, by the time you get a financial statement, you're doing it again another month or so. And in my mind, the idea is to see what you did that you can improve on and take action immediately. In fact, I have that when we do budget analysis with clients. I tell them to ask the three magic questions. What went wrong? Why did it go wrong is the first question. Why did it go wrong? The second question is, what action can we take immediately to fix it so it doesn't happen again? And then, of course, the third question is, what are we learning from those first two that will make us smarter going forward? But if you don't have current financial information, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You can't manage with numbers you don't have, or you shouldn't manage with bad numbers.
Absolutely.
And old numbers, that's for sure.
Old numbers for sure. So, and this client, that's going to be the first thing we're going to work with. We're going to say, we got to get information that is current enough to be useful.
I remember walking into a business many years ago when I was a full-time consultant, and this was a multi-million dollar company. It surprised me. I was shocked. I said, well, can I see your financials? And they went and got their tax return. And they were showing me the operating statement and the balance sheet that was on in the back of their tax return from the year before.
That's bad.
And
that's
of course, bad. They didn't last long. It didn't. You know, you could tell that this wasn't going to last. But Gene, give us your website one more time.
Website is www.cfoforrent.com.
The book is called Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. That's me and you, folks. Gene, thank you for being here. Good job today.
It has been my pleasure, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Gene Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of our resident CPAs of the Brain Trust, and he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.